Good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Naralo Toronto Organising Committee meeting on Wednesday, the 1st of August. We have Darlene Thompson, Evan Leibovich, Gordon Chilcutt, Garth Brune, Glenn McKnight, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Matt Ashtiani, and myself, Gisela Gruber. We are hopefully waiting for Eduardo Diaz to join us. And if I could just remind Eduardo, welcome. You've just joined us.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry I'm late.
Bienvenido. You're welcome. If I could just remind everyone to state their name when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you.
Okay, thank you. Second item is review and adoption of the agenda. Does everybody agree with the agenda as it's stated? Yes? All right.
Then
we will. Then we will. We will move on to the discussion of Naralo Toronto activities. I will. I'd like to recognize Glenn's very successful efforts in raising some donations, and I'd like to recognize Darlene's efforts in supplying all of us with some great information. Who would like to speak about the anniversary outreach event as it stands now?
I will. It's Glenn. I'd like to start.
Go for it.
Okay. So thank you again, Garth, for the compliment. Just to, for everybody's benefit, I did manage to get $2,000 confirmed. And Heidi, she's on the call as well. They need to send the money to her, not to her personal bank account, but I can also Google confirm for $5,000. So we have in the budget right now $7,000 for our event, and I'm working on the last person, which is Desiree, which actually she's in Vancouver now. We've been playing Skype call for 2 days. A little bit of tag, and she just came online. So as soon as I'm finished this call, or I may jump if she hits me with Skype. I'm sorry, but I'm chasing money. I'm going to try to get what she gave in. Olivia, you can back me up on this. I believe it was 2,500 euros. So I got a little less from Sarah. So we have seven. If we can get around 10 grand, that'd be fantastic. So that's where I stand right now. What I'm still waiting for is the location. I understand that that's being staff is looking into having that, so I don't have a location yet. But I have had chats with Heidi about certificates and other things. So, but the last thing on the anniversary, I chased down our suggestion of Michael Geist. And Michael very generously said, I'd be happy to do it, but he sent me an email saying it would cost $5,000 for his 15 minutes of fame, which I choked on, and I go, wow. So I've put to the list, thanks, but no thanks. It's just over the top. So I've asked for other suggestions, and some names are coming back. So the name of the inspirational speaker for 10 or 15 minutes is back on the table. That's it for me. Any questions?
Yeah, this is Garth. I was party to that discussion earlier about Michael Geist. I mean, is this a typical request for a speaker? Does anybody have any clue?
Hi, Garth. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Evan.
No, actually, Olivia's in the queue.
Oh, okay, go ahead, Olivia. I didn't see that.
Thank you, Garth. It's Olivier, but I'm not here to answer that question. So if Evan has the answer to the question, I defer to him.
The only question I had, the only answer I had is that having sometimes booked people, it's all over the map. Some people will come in for expenses. Some people will be for expenses plus. And if you want someone like Bill Clinton to come and address you at ICANN, he will get a huge amount of money. So there's a massive range on what people will want. One of the suggestions I was going to make, if our first choices don't pan out, is the possibility of asking Brian Holland from CIRA if only because we know he'll be there. Chances are he won't want any money because Syria, in fact, is a sponsor of the event. But at the same time, he might be able to talk on a subject of interest to us in terms of outreach and bringing ICANN into the mainstream. I don't know. It's just a thought that occurred to me that there might be a couple of people that are high up within ICANN that might be people who will already be at the event that might be worth bringing to speak at this.
Okay. Thank you, Evan. Glenn, maybe we can add his name to the list and maybe possibly the other sponsors if that doesn't fall through. I mean, that could be a good source for it. So I just want to ask you, Glenn,
Sorry, Garth, if
go
I could
ahead.
Just interject. The one thing that I thought would be worth having Brian talk about is the fact that .ca has actually been probably one of the better CCTLDs in terms of minimizing squatting, having residency relations, and they actually do some due diligence on their applicants. So I just wondered if maybe it was worth talking about the fact that you know, .ca actually has put out a very good example of how CCTLDs and perhaps even Gs might want to consider in terms of doing due diligence and having a well-run domain.
Yeah, I have to agree, and .ca has always been very clear about posting their policies and whatnot. I see that there's some discussion from Glenn. Glenn, do you want to jump in with a quick comment, and then we can go to Olivier, who was ahead of you in the queue?
Yes, thank you. Heidi has pointed out as well, both Sierra and Google have voiced interest in doing very, very short speeches. Like Evan has mentioned, they're happy because that's part of the sponsorship package, is that they kick some money in, they get a chance to speak a little bit. We can tell them what to say. And Google's very neutral on this. They want to be, you know, on multi-stakeholder relations, which is, you know, a very important aspect, very, very short. And again, like Heidi has said in the chat, 5 to 7 minutes. I think with the two, one from Google and one from Sierra, and if Aphilius wants to say a couple of words as well, I think we can get it nailed down. We may not need to have another speaker, but that's just my opinion. Over.
Okay. This is Garth. The Google, it could have potential to be controversial. We can discuss the details of that later.
Sure.
I want to go to Olivier, who's been waiting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivier for the transcript. And just as a note for the person who's taking the minutes moment, CIRA is C-I-R-A and not S-E-R-R-A. Sarah, yeah, that's probably more like it. Anyway, coming back to what I wanted to say, with regards to affiliates, I think it might be worth asking for more than the previous donation of €2,500, especially in the light that Google is confirmed for $5,000. If $5,000 could be obtained from affiliates, well, Glenn could probably play on the fact that Google's already in for this amount. But not only that, I also hear that Aphilias has one of its major offices close to Toronto, if not in Toronto. So they obviously would like to be a big player over in that part of the world, because it really is their home turf. Thank you.
Sorry, Olivier. Yes, they do. In fact, there's some people in the Toronto Linux User Group, ALS, that are actually employees of Aphilias. The thought, though, is that it is not a sales office. It's a very it's a geek campus.
Okay. Heidi has her hand up. I want
Sorry.
To recognize her.
Thank you, Garth. Just a few comments on the role of the speakers. What Glenn was saying, yes, I mean, if we get around 15 minutes worth of speaking from three of the three sponsors, that would be a keynote speech right there. I mean, also in the past, we've had people such as the CEO, so we could have the new CEO, Fadi, speak for a few minutes. He would often introduce the keynote speakers, but I think you might wish to consider Fadi having a slightly greater role in this if you do want to have him on the speaking role. And in the past, we've also had Sebastian as the person, the board member selected by at large, and then Olivier as the chair of ALEC, have spoken as well in an official speaking role. Very brief, all of these. So
okay.
You might want to consider that. And then Kiesel has some updates on the actual room or efforts to find a room for the summit event.
Thank you, Heidi. Glenn, you have your hand up.
No, I'm sorry. I should have put it down, but I concur with what Heidi's saying. I'll put my hand out.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have any further comments on this? We can still make our list and confer on it before we move on to the next agenda item. Any objections to that?
Garth, if I could just ask Colin Gisela to give us a brief update on the room or some possible challenges.
Okay, I saw that further down maybe I'm wrong, but go ahead.
This is actually just for the event.
You're right.
For the
I'm
other
sorry,
event.
Please.
Okay.
Yes, the
okay,
yes, booking of the room. Yes.
Gisela, go ahead. Gisela, you
Sorry, Gisela here. Sorry, I was muted. With regards to the room, we have submitted a new time of 6:30 to 8 p.m. for the event, because all the rooms will be busy until 6 o'clock with the GAC, with the board, etc. So any big room able to host our group will be full. We're waiting to hear back from the meeting teams with regards to the room. We are hoping to get a room and large enough, obviously, to host us and to have the cocktail area in front of it. It's sounding more positive now. One of the main points with regards to the room and what they're able to give us will be the key factors will be whether we are requiring interpretation for this event or not.
Okay. And also, before I jump on, we also have an entertainer item and a sound system item. Are we just going to... Is that still up in the air? And the catering as well, Glenn.
Sorry, if I may just, Gisela, again.
Sure.
With regards to the catering, we have already asked catering for a proposal for the number of people with an approximate budget of 67,000, and we will wait to hear back from the person who's...
67,000?
That's a lot of
old dirt. No, that was just the distance between France and the North America. That was 627,000.
Oh, okay.
No, I went to run a marathon and I raised 67,000. So I haven't heard back from catering yet, but I will be following up over the next couple of days.
Okay.
Can I just add just a little bit of that?
Please do.
So basically what we're thinking is that if we can start the event informally at 18:15, so 6:15 we'll open the room up, or at least a room preceding that, an antechamber in a way, to have cocktails, to draw people in, and then at 18:30 we'll start the official event. So hopefully if it's, for example, the room with that the GAC is normally in, we're hoping that they'll be out, and by 18:30 we can get everyone to file into the room, stop the cocktails, have the event, and then after the event, open it up to more cocktails and lights, light hors d'oeuvres. So does that sound about right? Because what we thought at the in Prague is that because we didn't have drinks before, it was a bit of a challenge to draw people in.
Okay. No, I do. So I know that these transitions for timing can be sticky, so maybe we do want to have a little bit of a 15-minute swing time. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, just to get everyone in the mood to come in
yep.
and sit down.
Yep.
Okay. And then one final thing, Glenn, did you mention the possible ministerial meeting that might take some board members away?
Sorry,
sorry about... Yeah, so go ahead. Sorry, Gisela here. With regards to the ministerial meeting, we haven't had any confirmation yet from Diane Schroeder's support to the board. She will try and get us an update as soon as possible. What's been mentioned is that there might be a very important ministerial meeting in Toronto. Date and time yet to be confirmed. She's thinking that if it was to take place on the Monday,
then the board would no doubt invite the delegates to a cocktail, which would interfere and clash with our event. Now, I have asked for her to hold the slot in the board's schedule from 6:30 to 8 on the Monday. And until she knows more, we're unable to confirm whether the board will be present or not.
Okay.
And that's all the info I've got, sorry.
So, but, and I'm sorry, do we have an estimate of when we'll know for sure? Or no?
Unfortunately not. It is something
okay.
that I'll be following up on every couple of days. And as soon as Diane hears back, she said she'd let us know, because she knows how important it is.
Okay. We appreciate that. So then on to, I guess, it was the entertainers and the sound system. Glenn?
Yes. I'm not sure how this room's going to be equipped, if it does or not. If it's not, then I'll have to arrange to get make sure a mic is available and a suitable. Now, maybe staff can clarify that. Will the room have that automatically?
Yes. Go ahead, Giesler.
Sorry, Glenn. Giesler here. With regards to the sound system required, if you could just make sure, I think it's probably best that everyone's informed on what we're thinking of doing. If you could shoot us an email with what is required, I'll make sure that gets put onto the meeting form. The meetings,
yes.
We haven't submitted the meeting forms, then we need to make sure what you need, whatever plugins you need. We usually
sure.
try and have a minimum of 2 cordless microphones available. So whatever the needs are with regards to sound, please just make sure that you send it through to staff.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that.
Okay. Thank
yep.
you.
So what kind of entertainers are we talking about?
Well, it's up to the group, but I can find. I'm based in near Toronto, so I know a lot of people in the entertainment industry. So if you guys want somebody playing just a light guitar or something, no singing, just light music, while people are hobnobbing and stop singing when the speeches are on, it's up to this group. It's just that it might be something, if it's not that expensive, to be added to the list.
So are you talking about subway buskers?
A little bit. Yeah, well, some of them are pretty good. But, somebody that is presentable playing something like classical guitar, that's what I was envisioning.
Okay.
Or maybe violin.
Yeah, violin, yeah. I do have somebody that plays classical violin as well, I know. But
okay.
either way, if this group is interested, if Aphilius comes through, we're looking at almost 10 grand. So it's nice to be able to do this right.
Okay. And as Olivier suggested, they might want to kick in a little bit more. We'll see about that. Does anybody object to moving on to the next agenda item? The
sorry.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Sorry to keep on this topic. So
yep.
In the case of entertainers, in the past, these showcases and events have had more cultural showcases, so it would be, you know, dancers and a group that would reflect the various cultures of that region. So, for example, in Africa, we had some nice African dancers and an African band. Same thing in Lafralo. So, is that something you'd like to consider? That would
you know, that's an excellent
all?
Idea too. I could look into that, guys. Culturally, we have a very diverse city in Toronto. There's wide open because it is such a diverse city. It's one of the most diverse cities in the world. So I'm more than happy to take suggestions on that. But please give your opinion or I'll have to work on it unilaterally.
Okay. All right. Any further comments on this agenda item? Okay, nobody has their hand up. All right, for the General Assembly, I see that Darlene has posted her earlier list, and I know that there was an update, or there were some suggestions from Seth, and they don't appear to be posted along with those. Maybe we can add those. Darlene, do you have any comments?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
If you do click on the link there, you will see the email I sent around actually earlier this morning to the list saying here's what we've got so far. So if you click on the General Assembly link in your agenda, I have posted it there as well. And I think we've come up with a fairly good list. But before I talk about that, I'd like to mention that staff has made time for us to have the General Assembly on Wednesday morning from 9 to 11. So basically what's going to happen is we're going to have our capacity building session from 7 till 9 and then go right into the General Assembly from 9 to 11. It's going to be four grueling hours, but hey, at least we'll all be together. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking, what about breakfast? And so I asked staff about that, and Heidi confirmed that either they would make sure that the hotel would supply breakfast early enough so that people can get to the capacity building sessions, have breakfast at their hotel, and then get to the capacity building sessions on time, and if not, they would provide a light breakfast there, which I assume means something in the way of high-carb stuff. But anyways, at least people will get fed. So as I say, the General Assembly will be Wednesday 9 to 11. And what you see on your screen is what we have so far for an agenda. And that's a lot to talk about in 2 hours. So we're going to have quite a bit there. That's it.
Okay, Darlene. Are Seth's suggestions incorporated in the list there? I just haven't had time to read the whole thing.
His suggestions were more for training because he wanted to know more how to use the wiki and stuff like that. So what I suggested to him was let's move that over to the capacity building sessions because that does fall more under capacity building. And as our time is looking pretty tight right now for the GA, it's not really a General Assembly matter. So I've kind of put that in my capacity building file folder. For when we start looking at that. And I've got more to say on that when we do move to capacity building. I think that falls more under capacity building. Olivier also sent some suggestions for stuff we can do under capacity building as well as for the GA. So I've tried to separate out the two and say, okay, what do we have to really, really cover for the GA and what can we shuffle over into capacity building when we might have a little bit more time?
Okay. I'm glad to hear that because I liked what Seth had put out there. So maybe we can transition into capacity building. And I see Olivier already has his hand up. I'm going to acknowledge him.
Thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivier for the record. Just wanted to ask whether you wanted to have Elad Levinson also talk to your ALSs. He's the person in charge of, correct me if I'm wrong, Heidi, is it organizational effectiveness at ICANN or something like this?
Yeah, he is Vice President for Organizational Effectiveness. And I know that he has asked you whether you would like him to speak to at-large. So I don't know whether you would like him to speak to all of at-large or to just the Neuralo ALSs or a combination. So that's something that you would need to think about.
Yeah, thank you, Heidi. That's Olivier again. I think we can discuss this, whether we would like all of at large to benefit from his lecture or his workshop, I guess. You can call it a workshop. Or whether we want to do this as just Neuralo benefiting and Neuralo ALS is benefiting from it. What's happened is he has done lectures, a series of workshops over in the Lacuralo event. And I believe there, my memory is fading away, but I think he was also involved with some of the work for Aparado as well. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Garth. I mean, I'm definitely interested in hearing about organizational effectiveness. If there's room, I suppose. Darlene said that the schedule is getting full up, but she also had more comments about the capacity building. So I'm going to turn it back over to her.
Yeah, Olivier, I think that would be an excellent topic for capacity building. And if you wouldn't mind, can you just ding that over to me in an email? Because I'm keeping all of my emails separate in little, file folders so I don't forget things. If you just tell it to me, I'll forget it. But that would be an excellent, because what we're looking at right now for capacity building is spending the first hour with the fellows. And that's an excellent idea because then we get they get a really wide range of people coming and talking to them saying, this is what my AC does, this is what my SO does, blah, 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 blah. So that's very good in general. And then the second hour we can use to discuss whatever we want. So that's the kind of thing. Olivier also suggested talking about things like reaching consensus on a position and also the concept of pen holder and the use of the wiki when drafting an ALAC statement, how to bring input from the community into the drafted statement. So these are the kinds of things that we might want to look at in the capacity building sessions. So this morning I asked staff, Heidi actually, when will we find out how will we know exactly what the fellows will be covering so that we don't double up on it or miss something? And apparently we won't be able to find that out for about a month's time. And then when we do find out the schedule of what the fellows are doing, then we can say, okay, so that's already set, and then we'll be able to set up our own hour after that to do whatever our region wants to focus on. So that was my suggestion there.
That's an excellent question for staff. This is Garth. But, Heidi, that's true that they won't be able to answer that for a month?
Yes, correct. So just a slight correction is that due to the fellows' schedule of their first 2 hours, Janice, who runs the fellowship program, we thought that it would be better if the Neuralo would have their individual capacity building sessions 7 to 7:50, 5:00, and then join the fellows between 8 and 9. And the reason for that is that the first 30 minutes for the fellows, 7 to 7:30, is basically just coffee and getting to know networking sorts of events, and we didn't think that that would be that useful for Neuralo reps. But then the second hour would definitely be speakers from staff, from the community, depending on the interests of the fellows.
Okay. All right.
This is Margo. I just want to raise my hand because I'm not in the computer.
All right. Olivier had the hand raised first, and then I'll go to Eduardo and then Darlene again. So, Olivier?
Thank you, Garth. It's Olivier here. I think it might be worth assuming that the program of the fellowship is the same as what's happened in Prague and what's happened in Costa Rica. It might be worth looking at what they discussed on each day. I know that I was often offered the same day to go and speak to the fellows, and I believe that it probably is very similar, certainly on the structural side of things, what the fellows are going to talk about. And that must be public knowledge. I don't know whether it's on the website or whether it's on the, if you look at the Prague schedule, we'll probably be able to find out what they talk about on every day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Eduardo?
Yes, I'm just curious on the DA, who is going to moderate the meeting? Is this you, Garth, or Darlene, or who is it? I'm not sure about that. Because we're talking about what we're going to cover. We haven't heard anything about who is going to lead this in the discussion during the DA.
Ms. Garth, I think that's a good question. Does anybody have a good answer? I'll go to Darlene because she does have her hand up. And then Evan.
Yeah, and actually that was part of my question too is staff, Heidi, I noticed that for, and I'm sorry to backtrack a little bit here. I've got 2 points actually. I noticed that you have that Secretariat opens the GA. Does that mean that the Secretariat is supposed to facilitate it, or what is normally done for a GA? Like who chairs it? Is it the chair or is it the Secretariat?
Yeah, I'm just, I'm going to read from your rules of procedure, your operating principles. It's when the General Assembly occurred, it's each year the General Assembly shall elect a chair and a Secretariat from among the membership of the ALSs and the unaffiliated members, individuals. So I'm going to put that link into the chat, and you can take a look at it. Okay, hang on, that's not the link. This is Rule 5. So basically, it's for the General Assembly, you'll need to choose, it looks like you'll need to choose your own chair and secretary for that particular meeting. program not getting the link for some reason.
So this is Garth. This is just chair and secretariat for the meeting. It does not refer to the Neuralo chair and secretariat? Okay.
Correct. No, if they choose that person, if they choose, you know, the elected chair and secretariat of Neuralo to be the secretariat and chair of the General Assembly, that's fine, obviously. But
okay. Darlene, did you have further comment on this before I go to Evan?
I did. Thank you very much. So, okay, so that's something that we'll have to in make sure that's in our agenda is choosing the chair and secretariat for the meeting. And I'm very sorry to go back to the General Assembly thing, but I forgot. Somebody had raised the question of do we need to have a professional facilitator for the GA or can we do this ourselves? And I think that might have just answered our question, is that this is to be done internally. I'm not really comfortable personally having an outside facilitator who doesn't know us. I think we can do it just as well ourselves internally. As long as the person that's chairing it can keep it moving along and keep it on time, I think we'll be fine, but that's just my opinion. But I'd like to hear other people's opinions. Do you think we need an outside facilitator? But it looks like our rules of procedure kind of covered it anyway, so maybe I can take that off of what we should be discussing.
This is
Eduardo. I was the one that put that question, but it was answered by Heidi. So thank you.
Okay. This is Garth. I don't think we need an outside facilitator. That's my opinion. I'm going to go to Evan.
I was going to reiterate that and sort of ask why we shouldn't just have our existing chair and secretariat of the region as the chair and secretariat of the GA. Is there, when the rules of procedure were written to allow for a different set, did that envision perhaps a level of political difficulty that I don't think exists, or was there another reason envisioned behind having the people running the GA to be different from the people that day-to-day run the region?
I imagine the question's for staff, but it could be for somebody else. I'll let Heidi take a stab at it.
Yeah, I would say it was just perhaps looking at some of the other RALO rules of procedure, operative procedures, why that was put in there. I would actually say, Darlene, you were there at the very beginning, so you might know why that was put in there.
It's Olivier. May I answer?
We went to Darlene, Evan. Yes, you can answer, Olivier.
Glenn's also in the queue.
Thank you, Garth. Just briefly, I think it comes from Robert's Rules of Procedure. It's a case of you start a General Assembly, you select who the chair, who the secretariat is going to be, who's going to be the timekeeper, and whatever other functions you want to select. But it's just a standard thing if you wish not to use your usual chair. And I think that's just a general rule of procedure which is used if, for example, in some assemblies, the chair would have to be forcibly removed, or the current chair would have to be forcibly removed, so the audience selects another chair to chair the meeting that will remove the organizational chair. Anyway, thankfully, we're not at that level. So.
All right. Glenn has had his hand up.
Yes, in the chat box, I was asking about at the General Assembly if anyone is videoing the sessions for those who could not attend, and if so, who will be doing it, and how would we broadcast the end product, because it looks like there's 2 hours of potential taping.
This is Garth. I know that Jolly had expressed some interest in providing some content remotely, and maybe we'll find out about that. I don't know if anybody else has an answer to Glenn's other question. No? All right.
Garth, this is Heidi.
Yes, please.
Just really quickly, IT provides all of our meeting rooms with a video that is projected from the front of the room, and it will be shown in the Adobe Connect, which is recorded. So
okay. That
video will be available, I believe. But
okay.
It's, again, it's just a straight shot, stable shot from the front of the room.
Okay. Did Evan, you said that Gordon had a question?
No, I simply mentioned that Glenn was in the queue.
Oh, Glenn was in the queue. I'm sorry, I thought you said Gordon was in the queue. Okay. Glenn, do you have any further comments?
Yeah, I don't think that's good enough quality video for sound quality as well as for future people to learn from. So I'd be more than happy to volunteer doing any filming as long as it goes somewhere, as long as people can use it afterwards. So if no one objects, then I would not charge anything for it. So I'd be happy to do that in the Wednesday morning.
Okay, does anybody have a problem with Glenn doing the filming? This is on a volunteer basis. Nope. Okay. All right. Are we done with the capacity building discussion as it stands? Okay. I want to make sure we talk about the tabletop display because we ran out of time last time, so I wanted to make sure that we address that. I know that Glenn has sent out some information about that. Glenn, do you have any more comments on the tabletop display?
Yeah. I've been working with staff for the tabletop. We did it with NOMCOM back in Costa Rica, and it was highly successful. We thought we talked to a ton of people. I'm suggesting we have our brochures, our application forms for new ALSs, and a pull-up banner. We just need people to volunteer some time, and I'm not talking a lot of time. If people can slip in for an hour, and so the table's not empty, even have lunch with your friend at the table so you can chit-chat. I just think it's an important way to get the message out. So I'm appealing again to people to think of the time that we'll have the tabletop during the day and look at your schedules and volunteer a bit of time.
This is Garth. Glenn, what time frame are we talking about? What are the expectations for the table to be manned during the day?
Yeah, it'll be, if it's similar to the other locations, it'd be in the, I guess you would call it the Trade ICANN Village, usually off to the side and usually in front of one of the large rooms. It'd be during the day. I'd be looking at probably close to about 5 hours per day to be covered.
But
so
what's the window? I mean, when do we start? When do we close?
I would say from roughly 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Those are active hours. It could be stretched longer, but we don't have the person power to cover it from early morning till 6 o'clock at night. I just don't think it's going with the number of ALSs we have and the lack of a huge amount of volunteer base, I would say we'd have to be realistic. That's why I'm saying from 10 to about 3.
Okay. This is Garth. I mean, I'll certainly be happy to fill in if we don't have important meetings during that time, and, you know, I'll take a look at the schedule as it stands now.
It's just my comment. You can ask Joyette. We don't have a big committee with the NOMCOM, and it worked out quite well. Each day we ran into people. They were happy to sit together and chit-chat, and just incidentally we saw people. So it's a free thing. It's a good way to reach out to the community.
Okay, great. And I think if anybody wants to volunteer for that, they can talk to Glenn.
Yep.
Are there any more comments in this area, Glenn, on the tabletop?
No. As long as I just want to get feedback from Heidi. Her and I have been talking about the banner or pull-up banner. There's a cost there, I guess, and maybe Heidi can fill me in on whether or not we can use maybe some of the budget from our Norello event to purchase a pull-up banner.
Okay, please, Heidi, you have your hand up anyway.
Yes, thank you, Garth. Yeah, just let me address a few issues related to this. Again, I have been following up with meeting staff about the possibility of this very frequently, and, you know, they keep saying they're working on it, so they'll get back to me, so apologies for that. I do think that it will be possible to either share the ICANN booth or to have a small table next to that.
Right.
And now in terms of the times, right now a new schedule is being proposed that includes a 30-minute coffee break, 10:30 to 11 on the mornings. And then between meetings, there'll be a 10-minute slot. So it'll be 10 till the hour or 20 after to 30 after the hour. And there'll be coffee available at that time as well. So I would suggest that you definitely plan on having someone manning that booth between the coffee breaks, the main coffee break, and the main one-hour lunch. Again, lunch is 12:30 to 1:30 now on all days except Tuesday. We're still working on that, whether we can even hold meetings during that time. But for the most part, people will be having that lunch break between 12:30 and 1:30. So, again, that's a good volunteer time. What we've done in the past is that we've had one person have a sign-up sheet, and they also have all of the materials, the brochures, the various documents that you want to hand out, and that person then coordinates who's going to be manning that booth at a particular time. It just follows up. So that's how that works. In terms of a banner, we looked into this for the San Francisco meeting. I believe the cost of a custom banner that you can actually, it's portable and you can just pull it up, and it will have Norallo on it with perhaps the at-large logo. I believe the price at that time was between $350 and $450. So we would need to get confirmation that you want to use some of the money for that from the sponsors for that. And then obviously we need time to have that made, and then that would be something that you could use for other outreach events as well.
Okay. This is Garth. I think that's a good point about the high traffic periods of time, and it may be more important to make sure it's staffed during those high traffic times. So that's something we're going to have to look into. Glenn, you still have your hand up.
No, I think that's an excellent suggestion, Heidi. Rather than having one person longer, more people in the concentrated times, and I think it pays off because when people are coming for coffee, there's a ton of people there. So, those are good suggestions.
Okay. All right. Before we move on to staff items, is there anybody else who wants to talk about anything that was previously discussed? Nobody? Okay. We will move on to the staff items, agenda item 4, planning and logistics.
Okay, I'm going to hand this over to Matt. If you click on the... Okay, Darlene has her hand raised. Darlene, is this related to that, or did you want to go back?
No, I'd like to speak on section number B. You go ahead on section number
okay.
A if you like.
Okay, so Matt, if you could go ahead and start talking about the slight update we've had to the database. If you could also put the link into the chat. Thank you, Matt. And everyone can open that. I'm going to go on to mute and start taking notes. Matt, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Matt for the transcript record. That link will take you to the updated Norallo capacity building events estimate.
Okay. Matt, sorry, could you adjust your headset, please? You're sort of garbled.
Is this better?
Keep trying.
Keep trying.
I think I set off. I'm directly talking to the phone. If I speak a little louder, is that better?
That's better.
Okay, so if you click on the link that I just put into the chat, it'll take you to the Norallo capacity building events spreadsheet. I shared this with you at the last meeting. It has been slightly updated. After speaking to constituency travel, we decided that it would be best to actually have not a stipend, but to have a per diem of $75 a day, which is what I believe will be the final number for constituency travel. But constituency travel is not yet published. It's travel guidelines, but this should be the number. Doing so saves some money, which also allows us to actually reach the 10% contingency fund, which I think is absolutely necessary. It's the standard to do 10%. This will help us account for travel emergency, somebody getting laid over, needing to spend the night in a hotel, or anything along those lines.
Okay, was that it, Matt?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so, Darlene has her hand up.
Sorry about that. I'm just running from one computer to another. This is on the travel deadlines and plans. Are you ready to move on to that, Garth, or do you want to still talk about the budget more?
If Matt is finished and Heidi are finished, we can move forward. No? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I've changed the dates a little bit. This was I kind of made this a unilateral decision when I heard back from constituency travel as to what their drop-dead dates were and stuff like that. Absolutely all plans have to be made by August 31st, and I believe in leaving a bit of a buffer zone. So what I have asked when I sent out, and I did send out invitations to everybody. Invitations have been sent out, and I did quote the $500 stipend, so if they get a little bit more, they'll be happy. And so what I told them is that I would need to hear from them as to whether they'll be able to go or not by August 10th, which will only give constituency travel a week until August 17th to be able to get all that travel booked. And in case it sloshes over into the next week, it's not going to be the end of the world. But if I put an August 31st deadline on it and it sloshes over into September, that'd be a problem. So that's why I gave a two-week buffer zone there, just in case, you know, just to keep it safe. So as I said, August 10th to hear back from people saying yay or nay, and then August 17th to have travel plans completed. I am starting to get responses in yet, in already, I should say. Only three so far, but I know of others that are still talking about it and trying to figure out who's supposed to go, like, you know, like Gordon and different ones like that. So I'm expecting that I'll be hearing back from more. And if by the end of this week, if I have, I will send out a reminder to those that I haven't heard from yet and ask them to please, you know, tell me yes or no. And so that's where I am right now on that.
Darlene, this is Garth. If you could keep me in the loop as to who has, you know, said they're coming and who hasn't responded, maybe I can, you know, help, you know, keep the notice on them and play the role of sergeant of arms to get them in the door if possible. Thank you.
Well, I haven't heard from this Garth Bruin guy. Do you know if he's coming?
I don't know. He's really flaky, you know. No clue. So, yeah, yeah, just as the list builds up and we get closer to the deadlines, just keep me in the loop and I'll give you a little help with that.
Thank you much. Yeah, I sure would appreciate that.
Okay. Now you still have your hand up. Olivier had his hand up and then it disappeared. Darlene, do you still have comments?
Olivier had a happy face on, not a.
Oh, okay. All right. It flashed and it disappeared, so maybe I can't tell the difference between a face and a hand. Okay, I see it. All right. So we discussed the travel plans, and now we have item 4C, number and selection of ALSs to send representatives. Is that a staff item, or is that part of the previous discussion?
This is Heidi. I think that's basically part of the previous discussion. I think Darlene's invitation has gone out. We are working on the individual who are going to be invited. Darlene, I know that you just sent Ellen a message regarding that. So I don't have any updates on that.
Okay.
Right. So far we've got three people that are confirmed. That's Randy Glass from America at Large, Alan Skuse from PCNA, and Seth Reese, of course. But as I say, there's plenty more to come in. As I said, you know, I haven't heard from Garth, haven't heard from Gordon. I know Telecommunities Canada is going to send someone, you know, so there's a bunch out there that's still going to come in. I'm not worried yet.
I actually did respond to you, Heidi. Maybe, Darlene, this is Garth. I did. Maybe you just haven't seen it yet.
Sorry about that. Okay, I'll send your information in. Thanks.
Okay. All right. So if nobody has any objections, we will move to next steps and recapping.
Garth,
any objections
sorry,
to moving forward? Please, go ahead.
Just I think we skipped the point three, travel to be arranged by consistency travel. During our call with them yesterday, we discussed the flight possibility of trains and buses. So just to stress that as was requested in the budget request, some people who live nearby may be asked to go on a train or a bus. Okay, now obviously, you know, we've already looked, for example, from New York, the train takes, I think, 4 hours while a bus takes 9 hours. So obviously we would go for the train. But just to let everyone know that if you live within the vast vicinity of Toronto, you may be asked to take other, you know, a bus or et cetera.
Okay.
Sorry, Darlene here. And I actually put that out on the invitation. I said that if you live close in, and I use New York as an example, like New York and closer, you will likely be sent in by train or high-end bus. So people know that.
Thanks, Darlene.
Okay. Heidi, you still have your hand up? Or is there more? Okay.
No.
All right. Okay. For next steps, just going backwards, we need to follow up with ALSs with their travel plans. We need some volunteers for the tabletop display, and we're still working on the specifics of the capacity building, and the General Assembly agenda is being built, and then the outreach anniversary event, we're still searching for some speakers and scheduling them. Now, when would folks like to meet again on the phone? Is a week too soon, or does a week work for people?
I will do it next week again.
Okay. All right, next week. That's one from Eduardo. Anybody else?
This is Gordon. Next week works for me, too.
Okay.
Would you like to... Okay.
Yes, yes. If we could schedule the same time, that would be fantastic.
Okay. So 20 UTC, okay?
Yeah. Okay. If nobody has any more comments left, I will give you 7 minutes of your life back. No? All right.
I'll take it.
The call is adjourned.
And I take 10.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye now, and I'll be in touch with you, Darlene.